Welcome to Closet Conversations with Cody.
This is Cody Chembars, and we are excited for another Closet Conversations devotion this morning. Just a reminder, we are live every Monday morning on Facebook Live at 8:30 in the morning. We also have a YouTube channel where we upload all of our videos every Monday morning as soon as we finish our devotion. So please enjoy today's content, and we will see you soon. Morning, beloved. Today is Monday, April the 6th, and we are here for another Closet Conversations with Cody. It is 8:41, so I am 11 minutes late. I apologize about that, but I'm excited to be here this morning. Really was on the fence about what we were going to talk about this morning. There were a couple of topics that I was bouncing around and just was really waiting for Holy Spirit to guide me to make sure that I am speaking what He wants me to speak and not the other way around. We could get ourselves in trouble when we say things that we feel like Holy Spirit would say, but Holy Spirit doesn't tell us to say that. So this morning we are going to talk about hard hearts. And before we do that, I wanted to make sure that you were aware of last week's message where we had a special guest, Gracie Bell, who was my oldest daughter. She taught us about joy. She taught us how to spread joy, what joy looks like, who has joy. And so if you missed that message from last Monday, be sure to tune in. Be sure to go back and listen to that, and it will bless you. We had many, many comments about how it was just a refreshing voice to hear a 6-year-old, almost 7-year-old, be able to teach us about joy. So, amen. That's on the podcast and the YouTube channel if you want to go back and listen to that. But like I said, today is we're talking about hard hearts. And yesterday was a significant day. And today and this week is really significant. And then this upcoming Sunday is very significant, and it's significant for a couple of reasons. Sunday is actually Easter, and you know, I've seen some posts going around about how this may be the first Easter that hasn't been celebrated, and a lot of people are up in arms about that. But we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what happened this week leading up to Friday, and then which ultimately led to Sunday. And so I actually shared this message for all of our covenant partners at Christ Fellowship. I actually shared this message a year and a couple of days ago, talking about the hard hearts. So yesterday, as we know, is if you attended church online, as I'm sure everybody did, it was Palm Sunday. And so what is Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday. Jesus came into town, and everybody in the town laid palm branches down on the ground, and Jesus's donkey actually walked on top of the palm branches. And so, you know, we understand that this is the beginning of the end of the beginning, right? So Jesus had to come into town. He had to be able to prepare himself for what was coming on Friday. And so we're going to pick up and look at, really break down what happened this week leading up to Easter, Good Friday, and then to Easter. So this is known as the Holy Week, and Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus was preparing himself and the disciples for what was to come. Now Monday, Jesus, we find Jesus cursing the fig tree and cleansing the temple. So we find Jesus coming in today, this many years ago. Today, Jesus actually cursed the fig tree. And that was that story where he saw the fig tree off in the distance. He was hungry. He went to go, and there was no fruit on it. And he actually cursed the tree because it didn't have any fruit. And we can see that as a foreshadowing, as people that say that they're Christians and there's no fruit in their life. Are you really living the way that Jesus has called you to? And then we see him cleansing the temple. Now, tomorrow, Jesus predicts his own death. And then Wednesday, which is when I shared this message, Wednesday is called Spy Wednesday. Now, this is when Judas Iscariot betrays Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to study Judas Iscariot, and we're going to talk about those hard hearts. How did Judas, one of the original 12 disciples, how did he go so far off path that he was the one that ended up getting Jesus captured and leading to his crucifixion? So that's what we're after. God is after our hearts. And we're going to talk about what do I have any areas in my heart that have become hardened? And if we have hard hearts, or if we had a hardened area in our hearts, then today is the day that we repent. We ask for forgiveness. We till up that ground. We make it soft, and we allow Jesus and Holy Spirit to plant what needs to be planted there. Amen. So one of the first interactions that we really see Judas Iscariot, we're going to be in John 12, and we're going to read 1 through 6. So I'm just going to read that very quickly. But if you want to turn there, John 12, 1 through 6. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus. Lazarus, the man he raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with them. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. And so we can see here. Now, you have to remember, whose house were they at? Lazarus. Why is Lazarus significant? Lazarus was raised from the dead 4 days. So Judas, I want to make sure that I paint a picture, and this is not just going over our heads and just saying this is Cody just doing another devotion. You have to hear me on this. This is our heart that God is after. Judas Iscariot saw Lazarus come out of the tomb with grave clothes on. He saw that. He saw demons cast out. He saw the sick healed. He saw blind eyes open. He saw deaf ears open. He saw all of this with his very own eyes. Yet when the sister of the man that was raised from the dead comes and honors Jesus with the most expensive thing that she had, here we have Judas Iscariot saying, we could have sold that and given the money to the poor. We need to evaluate ourselves. I know personally, I've seen many miracles that I never thought I would be able to see in my life. Deaf ears open, blind eyes saying that I can see now. Different miracles across the spectrum. But there are areas of my heart that I still need to break up, and I still need to turn into soft, fertile ground that Jesus can plant what he needs to plant in me. Are you with me this morning? Are you here? That's what he's after. So pay attention to what is being shared today, because it will release incredible fruit in your life. Remember, Jesus cursed the fig tree today. We need to bear fruit. We need to be able to bear fruit for his kingdom. So Judas's heart was hardened. His heart wasn't aligned with Jesus's heart, even though Judas had been with Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. His hard heart was focused on the amount that Mary wasted versus the intimate moment that just transpired. His hard heart attempted to cover its tracks by saying it could be given to the poor, but everyone around him knew he didn't care. And this is where we can fall into that trap. Yeah, I want to say the Christian thing. I want to say what the Bible says. But are you just covering something up? Are you just taking the dirt that God wants to deal with for you to sweep it up and to get it out of the house? Are you taking that dirt and just putting it under the rug and saying, well, this is what the Bible would say I should do. I'll say that so it makes me sound good, but then I'm going to go do something completely different. He wanted to cover his tracks by saying it could be given to the poor, but everyone around him knew he didn't care. He wasn't concerned with Jesus being honored through relationship, but Judas wanted to be religious with the use of the perfume, right? The religious thing to do. The religious. Well, it reminds me of the Pharisees or the rich man that was in the temple and, oh, here's my $1,000 that I'm going to give. And I'm so glad that I could give $1,000 to the temple. And then we have this woman over here that gives the one mite. And Jesus said, you have given more than the other person. It's religious. We're after a religious heart today. Why do you do what you want to do? Why do you do it because you love Jesus, or do you do it because you're being a good person? And that's what you're supposed to do. Judas was the religious person. Judas was the Pharisee in the group. Well, we should have given that money to the poor. Yeah, you could do that. They could absolutely do that. But what you're missing is the fact that the intimacy with God is far greater than that money that they could have sold that nard for and then given to the poor. So again, he's after a heart. Let's break down the word heart. So we have hear to ear. If we take off the H and the T, or the H and the RT, we have hear. If we take off the H and the T, we have ear. So a hard, stony heart keeps us from hearing things the way that Jesus intended for us to hear and to teach us. Now, I want to give you just six adjectives that really describe a hardened heart. Now, remember, I am not after condemnation. If you have any of these, this is a message of conviction to get us to repent. So we don't turn into a Judas Iscariot. God wants us to be intimate and to be close and to love him and to hear what he has to say. So a stony heart looks like this: bitterness, jealousy, unforgiveness, anger, pride, fear. Bitterness, jealousy, unforgiveness, anger, pride, and fear. Let me just break down those six adjectives real quick of what a hard heart looks like. I'm going to pull up scriptures and tell you each and every single one of how they relate and what it looks like. So Hebrews 12:15, this is where we talk about bitterness. This is where we learn about bitterness. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Bitterness. Would you say Judas was bitter? He was absolutely bitter. He was bitter that he could have had that money. Do you know really what it boiled down to? And we've already learned this, but what it boiled down to was if they would have sold that nard, then Judas Iscariot would have had more money because he was carrying all their money. So now what he would have happened was he would have had more money to steal. He was bitter about the transaction, about the situation that just occurred. Jealous. For you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? 1 Corinthians 3:3. Do we have any areas of jealousy in our life? I know when I was first dating Christiana, I was super jealous. Oh, I had so much jealousy, and I thought it was normal. I thought being jealous was good. Oh, I really thought it was the way that a man was supposed to be. Now, don't get me wrong. Are we supposed to honor and long to be with our spouses? Absolutely. But jealousy was actually driving a wedge in between us, because anytime she would talk to anybody else that was a male, I would be jealous, and all of a sudden everything would be blown out of proportion. So jealousy, do you have any areas of jealousy in your heart? Unforgiveness. My gosh, this is the number one tactic of the enemy. The number one tactic, unforgiveness. Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Luke 6:37. Why is this the number one tactic of the enemy? I'm reading a book right now called Spiritual Warfare, and it talks about how the enemy does such a good job with implementing unforgiveness, especially with Christians. And what we find is that unforgiveness, it blocks so much of the promises of God. The unforgiveness blocks healing to some people. The unforgiveness blocks the gift of your prayer language. The unforgiveness blocks so many things in the kingdom of God. And if the enemy can keep us walking and bound in unforgiveness, he keeps us bound from the promises of God. And so unforgiveness, the number one tactic of the enemy, and I've already talked about this, I don't want to spend a lot of time here. Anger. Anybody else struggle with anger from time to time? I know I really struggle with anger. I had to have deliverance for anger. It was a generational spirit that had literally come down from generation to generation. And it was an experience to have that deliverance session. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. That comes from Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Anger. My goodness. Pride. The wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead, yet they succeed in everything they do. They do not see your punishment awaiting them. They sneer at all their enemies. They think nothing bad will ever happen to us. We will be free of trouble forever. That's Psalms 10, 4 through 6. So we've just covered the areas that have make our heart hard. And so we need to be able to be honest with ourselves. Let Holy Spirit come in and do an analysis of your heart. Of the six things that we just talked about, are you struggling with any of those areas? And if you are, you don't have to be upset. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. All we're going to do is repent. We're going to say, Lord, forgive us. And we'll go over that at the end of this devotion. So hard hearts cause us to look at sin differently than how God views sin. Now listen to some of the things that I'm about to name off. This is how we get to the hard hearts. This is how we increase the hardness. Rated R movies. When we drink alcohol to get drunk, smoke cigarettes, pornography, lie to get ahead of business, covet. When we have that hard heart, when we have those areas in our heart, like Judas, if we take it back to Judas, all of a sudden, the way that God sees things does not align with how we see them. The hard heart changes how we view these things that I just mentioned. Cody, why are rated R movies bad for Christians? Well, why are they bad? Do they have language? Do they have nudity? Do they have killing? Do they have gore? Now, don't get me wrong. Have I watched rated R movies? Absolutely. Do I watch rated R movies all the time? No, I don't make it a habit of that. Because we have to be careful about what we allow into our gates. Our gates, our ears, and our eyes, and our mouths with the food that we eat. But we have to protect ourselves from that. And as Christians and sons and daughters of God, not Christians, as sons and daughters of God, we need to protect what goes in our gates, because it's not what goes in that defiles it. It's what comes out that defiles us. And so if we are listening to it to bring it in, then it's eventually going to come out. Let's go to John 13:2. This is the next interaction where we hear of Judas. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. What we want to focus on here is a stony heart keeps us from hearing the things that the way that Jesus intended for us to hear. When we continue to have a hardened heart, we are condemning and negating what Jesus did on the cross. That's a tough statement to hear. That's a tough statement. When we continue to have a hardened heart, we are condemning and negating what Jesus did on the cross. Cody, how can you say that? Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to continue to live the same way that when he found us or when we found him. He did not intend for the cross to do that. Yes, he wanted us to spend an eternity with our Creator, but he wanted to equip us. He wanted to send us out the same way that he sent the disciples out, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, and raise the dead. I said it out of order. That's why he died on the cross. Not for us to continue to do and to go back and to get drunk and to watch rated R movies and to watch pornography, to lie, to get ahead in business, to covet, to have sex outside of marriage. That's not why Jesus died. And so when we are not living, when we have that hardened heart, and when we view sin opposite the way that Jesus views us, we are condemning and negating what Jesus did on the cross personally. We have to break up our hard hearts and see the sin through the heart of Jesus. Listen to this from Matthew 5:8. God blesses those who are pure, whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Now here's where we're coming to a close. Judas's heart was finally broken. The hard heart finally became shattered. We're going to pick up the story from Matthew 27:3-5. It says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and the elders. I have sinned, he declared, for I have betrayed an innocent man. What do they care? Or what do we care? They retorted. That's your problem. Then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and went out and hanged himself. His heart was finally broken. He finally was able to come to a place where he realized the severity of what he's done. This is sound the alarm. This is a wake-up call that if we continue living with the hardened heart, we're going to end up like Judas. Now, are we going to commit suicide? Absolutely not. But we're going to come face to face with Jesus, and he's going to say, Cody, I died on the cross for you. I gave you power. I expected you to do greater things than I did. What did you do with your time here? What did you do with your time on earth? It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. We've got to soften our hearts. Now listen, here's how to get rid of our stony hearts. This is what we're going to close with. We have to come to realize the stony areas of our heart. We have to let Holy Spirit do a complete heart check. Just like people that have heart issues go to a cardiologist to check their heart, we need to allow Holy Spirit to check our spiritual hearts. We have to get a checkup. I don't know how often someone goes to a cardiologist. Let's just say every 6 months. We need to do an inventory. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time and you're looking down on people, new Christians that are still struggling with things. They're babies. Maybe you're struggling with anger. Maybe you're struggling with pride. Maybe you're struggling with bitterness or unforgiveness. You have to do a self-analysis and say, Holy Spirit, what is it that I need to bust up in my heart? You need to be filled with repentance. It's one thing to notice it and to acknowledge it, but it's a whole nother thing to repent. Repent is metanoia. It means that you change your mind about it. It means that you're going one way and then you do a U-turn and you go the complete opposite direction. So bitterness, if you struggle with bitterness, then you change your mind about bitterness and you go the complete opposite direction. Now you better believe that you will be tested in every area. The enemy will come and say, all right, you said you're done with bitterness. You repent. You're ready to walk away from bitterness. He's going to give you situations to be able to see if you're going to fall and go back to the bitterness. You have to publicly declare the offense. You need to speak it out. Father, I am struggling with anger. I'm struggling with bitterness. I'm struggling with unforgiveness. I'm struggling with pride. You have to speak it out. Remember that when you confess, your confession is noted and marked in the courtrooms of heaven. And so as the accuser stands there accusing us, like it talks about in Revelation, as soon as you confess, that closes the case for the enemy. And God can forgive you. And now we can begin the process of rebuilding and planting what needs to be planted in your heart. And then the final thing of how to get rid of it is to walk in the freedom, to know that you don't have to be bound. You don't have to end up like a Judas Iscariot. You don't have to. Today is the day. Today is the day that you can repent. You can confess, repent, and then you can walk in freedom. Let that be today. He came to set us free. Jesus came to set us free and to change our hearts, be more like his. Ezekiel 36:26, and I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Amen. Amen. So let's go through some confessions. To close out, we are at 27 minutes, so we'll just close in prayer, be under the 30-minute mark. So whatever you're struggling with, you know, I don't know, Holy Spirit knows, God knows, Jesus knows, the enemy knows, but whatever you're struggling with, what I want you to do is just to take a moment, jot down some of the areas that Holy Spirit is speaking to you on. Now, we mentioned those six, and again, I'll just say those real quick. Bitterness, jealousy, unforgiveness, anger, pride, and fear. So if you're struggling with any of those six, just go ahead and jot them down. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to confess. And we're going to ask for forgiveness. And we're going to ask Holy Spirit, we're going to ask Jesus to soften our hearts, to give us a new heart like we just learned about in Ezekiel. And then we're going to walk like we've never walked before. We're going to walk in freedom. We're going to walk in power. We're going to walk in might because we're not going to have anything attached to us. We declare that we will not be a Judas Iscariot, that we will live in the fullness and the power that Jesus intended for us to as he died on the cross. Amen. So, Father, thank you for being a wonderful father. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for me. Father, as I've learned today about the hard areas of my heart, I come to you with a repentant heart. And Lord, I lay down bitterness, jealousy, unforgiveness, anger, pride, fear. Now, if you need to add anything else, just add it right there. Father, I lay these at your feet. And Father, right now, I take out my stony heart and I lay it at your feet for you to crush and to crumble. And Father, I receive the heart of flesh and I place it in. Father, I ask that you would break my heart for what breaks yours. Father, open my eyes, open my ears, and open my heart to see and to hear the things that you need me to see and to hear. Father, I thank you for Jesus taking the 39 lashes. For your word says in Isaiah 53:5 that by his stripes we are healed. And Father, you know the areas in my body that need healing. So Father, as I just confessed and laid all that down at your feet, I now receive the healing for my body in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for using me for your kingdom and for your glory. May I be found obedient to serving you all the days of my life. I love you and I thank you and I praise you. It's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. So go through, say that confession. Whenever you need, the enemy wants us to stay in condemnation and to stay in the hard hearts. He wants us to believe that we've done something so bad or that we've been bitter for so long or angry for so long that we can't be changed. I am telling you right now that there are times that anger wants to come back. He wants to knock at the door, but I will not let him in. Anger was with me and with my family as a generational curse. So you can break that off. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be bitter. You don't have to be prideful. There's freedom in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to come to a close. You have a wonderful week. We will be live next Monday at 8:30. Happy early Easter. He is risen. Resurrection Day, not Easter. I apologize. Happy Resurrection Day. Jesus is on the throne. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. So go out, be bold today for his kingdom. Tell someone about Jesus, and you have a wonderful week. We will see you soon.
Trust that today's message blessed you. And if it did, please send it to somebody who really needs to hear it, and have a blessed day.